welcome. It's great of you to join us. Thank you so much for giving us the privilege of your time. I am Chuck Champion, and I'm sitting here with Chale Pistolas, and we are doing the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. And this week is a special week as Chale Pistolas comes to us live on location from Crestvale Drive in Corpus Christi, Texas, where he is. What are you doing over there, bro?
Oh, well, welcome. Thank you so much, Chuck Champion.
Welcome to
the show. I'm here to celebrate Thanksgiving, social distance with my favorite niece, my nephew.
Social distancing.
Yeah, we got a social distance, but you know what? We're going to have a great time. Cowboys are going to kick ass tomorrow. And, well, we have a great show lined up thanks to you, Chuck Champion.
Oh, man, we do have a great show. We do have a great show. And the thing is that nobody knows about it because I didn't really tell anybody about it. But I promise you, we do have a great show tonight. And who do we have next to us over there? Who's sitting with us?
Oh, I've got here Mr. R.P.
Mr. R.P.?
Put an ad in the community.
From the Pina compound.
The Pina compound. We're sitting here live enjoying a cold beer and talking about Cowboys.
Right on. Right on. Indeed. Our precious Dallas Cowboys did pull it off this week. They did pull it off. But first, let's talk about some breaking news that's going on right now. Dallas Cowboys strength and conditioning coach Marcus Paul has passed away. Unfortunately, he was rushed to the hospital Tuesday morning after experiencing a medical emergency, and unfortunately he has succumbed to his medical emergency, and it has been announced that he has passed away. He was 54 years old. What do you know anything about this, Mr. Pistola?
Well, I Chuck Champion, I heard it earlier. My condolences to the team, the family, all his loved ones, the fans.
Oh, definitely.
A great loss for our team. I think he'd been with us some time now, and just a wonderful individual as far as I know. And may you rest in peace. And our thoughts and prayers with the family and the team and the fans. Course, Chuck Champion.
Indeed. Marcus Paul won 5 Super Bowl titles as an assistant strength and conditioning coach, 3 with the Patriots and 2 with the Giants. So obviously the 2 that he won with the Giants were against the Patriots. So,
wow.
Obviously, because the only 2 championships the Giants have been against the Patriots here recently. I believe they're 3-time champions, and the first one was against the Buffalo Bills, I believe. And then the second one was against the Giants, and so was the third. So, yeah, they're 3-time champions. So he won 2 of them with the Giants. Two of them with the Giants and 3 with the Patriots. So, yeah.
But the 2 with the Giants were against his old alma mater, the Patriots.
Yep, indeed. That's how it was. In 1998 is when he started coaching. So, Jerry Jones did put out a message. The loss of a family member is a tragedy, and Marcus Paul was a loved and valued member of our family, he said. He was a pleasant and calming influence in our strength room and throughout the star. His passion for his work and his enthusiasm for life earned him great respect and admiration from all our players and the entire organization. We offer our love and support to his family in this very difficult time. Our hearts are broken for his family and all of the individuals whose lives he touched and made better. So yes, definitely. Marcus Paul, rest in peace. On behalf of the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast.
Absolutely.
Great loss indeed. Great loss indeed.
Indeed.
Moving on, I tell you what, we had what a week we had. We won a game, finally. We won a game, and all of a sudden, Let me ask you this before we start with the breakdown of the game, and we can ask Mr. P there what he thinks as well, if he'd like to partake in this. But have your expectations changed? Have the expectations now changed? I mean, you put it in perspective, guys. We're freaking three. We've won three games. We're 3-7. We play tomorrow against the Washington football team. We win tomorrow. We're in first place of the NFC East, whether you like it or not. We're in first place, baby. We are in control of the NFC East, just like that. We're back in it. Have your expectations for the team changed, Denny?
Well, funny you should mention that, and yes, they have. Okay, you know, my expectations are slowly moving back towards they were at the beginning of the year. Not quite there, Chubb Champion. But if we win tomorrow, with a win tomorrow, I could really be convinced. Okay, and here we are. And, you know, if you think back to when our losing streak started, okay, we lost Dak, everything started happening, you know, then we suffered the concussion, and we found some more deals here, okay, and so the negative thoughts started coming in, and now they're turning over, and I want to say that I really believe that with a win tomorrow, it shifts completely, because whether and you said it, you couldn't have said it better, Chuck Kennedy. Whether they like it or not, we're back in it. And, you know, some of the greatest Super Bowls, some of the greatest games that have ever been played have been with records that are not a sweep. Okay? And right now, what is our record? 3-7?
3-7.
3-7. So if we win another one, it'll be 4-7. Next thing, you know, it'll be 5-7. You know, if we going into the playoffs, 7-7 or 8-7 is not that bad. your thoughts? Can we ask our special guest his thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to Mr.
Your
P on that.
Well, I guess if the Cowboys will get a 6-7, we'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, all we have to do really is win out on our division games that we have left, which we have one of each. You know, we've got the Redskins tomorrow. You know, they beat us the first game. So we got them again tomorrow. Yeah. And then we have Philadelphia and Washington, or Philadelphia and the Eagles are the last two games of the year for us. I mean, and whatever happens in between happens in between. But if we win those games, we're in like Flynn. And
yes,
there's nothing anybody can do about it. There's nothing anything can do about it. I'll tell you what. You would have to listen. You would have to go back to one of our previous episodes and listen to call me a liar. But my expectations never changed. They've never wavered. I've always said from the beginning, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year. That's why we did this podcast. I still wholeheartedly believe that we're going to win this year. We get into the playoffs. Somebody has a bad day. We hand them their asses. Next thing you know, we're taking teams out of the playoffs. That's a big boost momentum. We start peaking at the right time, and then they just start falling, baby. They just start falling like blocks.
And you know, Chuck Champion, back when we started our losing streak, if I remember correctly, and again, in order to prove us wrong, they'd have to go back and listen to them. But you called it. You said there could be a turning point somewhere. We're headed in the wrong direction right now. But you're right. The only reason we started this was to end with a ring. And, you know,
that's right.
We have hope again. The hope has restarted, and I don't know that anybody can turn it off. Whether they like it or not, the Cowboys are in it, and we're in it to stay. And we're gonna show our true colors tomorrow. And if we'll be sitting here next week, this time, same channel, just celebrating the Chuck Champion. I really believe that.
I believe so too. You know, the death of Marcus Paul, the beloved coach or strength and conditioning coordinator. You know, I think the guys will step up and pull one out. But we'll get to our predictions later on in the show. But yeah, I think the expectations have probably changed for a lot of people. You know, all of a sudden we're here. We are winning again and looking pretty darn good, if I may say so. Let's go ahead and get into the breakdown of that. We have, are you prepared with your, are you on a mobile studio tonight?
I'm on a mobile studio, but you know, internet's been good to me. We're good to go there, Chuck Champion. We have the stats. We've got everything, and not to mention Cole Brewski.
Cole Brewski, yes. Absolutely.
Which always helps the situation.
Indeed, it does. It lightens up the mood for sure.
Yeah.
But I digress. So we have the enter the game. That was a good game. We'll go ahead and do the scoring summary on this instead of the whole breakdown. But the scoring summary, the first one we had, it was a three-play, 30 yards on this three plays. Took a minute and 31 off the clock. Ezekiel Elliott with a 6-yard pass from the Red Rifle. And then we go to our extra point, and Greg Zuerlein ends up getting blocked. So, nevertheless, we took the lead. And I want to say that was, our first touchdown in a long time?
Yes. Yes, and I'm not sure how many quarters, but it had been numerous.
Yeah, it had been games worth. I mean, it was so bad, I don't even want to remember. But, yeah, nevertheless, they got that monkey off their back, and we head into the game 6-0. Now, some time went on, and then they started moving the ball. This Dalvin Cook guy was running, doing a pretty good job. He did a 1-yard run. Dan Bailey, the former Dallas Cowboy, with the extra point, and they take a lead. Several lead changes in this game, but the only one that mattered was the last one, maybe. But we'll get to that in a little bit. So at this point, the Vikings are winning 7-6. The Minnesota Vikings, yes, indeed. So we get into the second quarter, 4:55 in there. C.D. Lamb with a 4-yard pass from Andy Dalton and the Greg Zuerlein kick. That took 9 plays and 52 yards. Burned 5 minutes off the clock. Dallas takes a 13-7 lead. If we expand this right here, we can check out what exactly happened there. But I'm not going to do that. Do you have any comment on that?
No.
CeeDee Lamb had a pretty good game, and by this time, the tone of the game had pretty much been set. These guys were knocking the crap out of each other out there, just hit after hit. And it was looking like a good game. 13-7 at this point. And so then we go into the second quarter. Or we're still in the second quarter. We had a field goal come up 5 plays later, 47 yards. And this was took 47 seconds off the clock. And then there was 2 seconds left. And so Dallas, with a 16-7 lead at halftime, and by this time, I'm thinking, holy smoke, this is going to be this could turn into a good finish. You know, we're 16-7. You know that Minnesota is not going to just lay down for us. So at this point, I'm thinking, hey man, we're headed for a good finish here. What are your thoughts going into halftime?
Well, you know, we'd had a decent half, and I was pretty excited about it. I had a feeling we'd come back and take it all the way. I did not believe that it would be as tight as it was. I thought we'd come back and just continue, the positiveness that we'd shown before or in the first half. And I thought we were gonna take it home with a little bit more than a 3-point spread. I'm not dogging that, but I just felt like at halftime I was pumped up, Chuck Champion.
Right. Well, you know, at that time, by that time, we had already had a fumble recovery from, you know, they fumbled five plays in, they had fumbled. We had also had an interception.
Yes.
So we're looking pretty good. You know, we're looking pretty good right now at halftime. Our defense is stepping up, you know, with fumble recoveries and interceptions. And then everything is looking good except for the blocked extra point attempt. Let's go to Mr. RP there. What were your thoughts on the first half of the game?
Well, it was a close game. It was tight. It was late. But it's, and we got that block, extra point. But
yeah.
I knew they would come back on the third quarter and win it.
So we get into the plays here into the third. So the third quarter comes about. And let's see here. It was a boring third quarter. Adam Thielen did have a 2-yard pass from Kirk Cousins with the Dan Bailey kick that was good. That took 9 plays, 75 yards. So then here comes Minnesota, 16-14. And that was the activity in the third quarter. So then we go to the fourth, and we had a pretty good fourth quarter. Lots of action. You could pretty much tell that whoever had the ball last was going to win this game. And indeed, that is what happened. We had, at the beginning of the fourth, we had an Adam Thielen with a 3-yard pass from Kirk Cousins. They chewed up a good part of the third quarter going into the fourth with this. The touchdown did happen in the fourth, but they ate up 12 plays, 81 yards, 6 minutes and 47 seconds on this drive. Ended up with a 3-yard touchdown pass, Cousins to Thielen. And by this time, they were beating the crap out of Thielen, man. He had taken quite a few hits. His thumb was injured. He had been taken to the back early and stuff. And then he was back out there. He was playing tough. But then we had Tony Pollard with a 42-yard run. CD Lamb run for the 2-point conversion. On a surprise 2-point conversion there with a little bit of trickery. That was pretty cool. That resulted in a 5 play, 75 yards on that. 2 minutes and 55 seconds is what they ate. And Dallas takes the lead again, 24-21. So, gentlemen, we had a game on our hands going on there. And then, next thing you know, we had a new guy to meet pop up. I had never heard of this guy before. Jefferson. Okay, and so Jefferson, the thing about Jefferson is I always like to say, you know, I used to watch that show, The Jeffersons, and there was Mr. Whittendale.
We're moving on down.
Yeah, Mr. Whittendale would come on, and he was always like the culprit, like the bad guy to Mr. Jefferson. Like Mr. Jefferson would be the good guy when Mr. Whittendale was on, because he was the big bad guy, right?
I remember it well.
The big rich bad guy. But so, so he would always say, Mr. Whittendale would always say, Jefferson. But I digress, man. So we had Jefferson making a move there.
Yeah.
And of course, I did say Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson, 39-yard pass from Kirk Cousins, 5 plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes and 25 seconds were eaten off the clock. Minnesota takes the lead, 24-28. However, there's still some time left, plenty of time. So Dallas gets the ball. And they score a touchdown in 2 minutes and 23 seconds, and that was it for that. Darren Schultz with a 2-yard pass from Andy Dalton, that pretty much sealed the deal, 31-28. And, guys, we took a victory.
Indeed.
Home, and things change. I think the expectations have now changed. And everybody is back on the high horse bandwagon, whatever you want to call it. Everything is back like normal, babe. We're on our way to the playoffs again, guys. Seemingly.
We're on our way.
Seemingly.
You know, and I'm sure you're going to talk about this, Chuck Champion, but I saw a difference Ezekiel Elliott.
And
I don't know if you plan to touch on that or if I just threw a curveball at you, but I saw a huge difference in the way
definitely.
Ezekiel was handling the ball and the pursuit of happiness.
Most definitely. Go ahead and elaborate on that. Tell us exactly what you saw.
Well, I saw more determination. I saw more execution. I didn't see him staring up into space. I saw him being focused, wanting to make another yard. And I don't have the exact stats on him yet, but I can pull them right up. But he had a good game, Chuck Champion.
Right.
And I just saw a different Ezekiel Elliott than I'd seen in the previous games. It's been a while.
Yeah, you could see
more drive, more willingness.
Perhaps the words that Deion Sanders, you know, we touched on that last week, the little lecture that Deion Sanders gave him, perhaps that helped out. I mean, he needed to hear something like that from a legend.
Well, you know, he was being called out by his peers.
Yes, he
was.
And
that's what legends are made of, you know. You know, Deion Sanders called him out, and he executed his style of leadership. Even though he's not, you know, in the NFL anymore, he still has influence, and maybe it did work out for Ezekiel that way. Maybe he got him to respond.
Yeah, 42 days. I mean, it probably seemed like 42 years to him, because that's how long it had been since we had won a game. You know, 42 days. It had been a long time. We snapped a 4-game losing streak with a win on the road for the first time this whole season. We won a game on the road, guys. And, of course, we put ourselves right back in the race, you know, with 6 games left to play, even with a 3-7 record. I mean, we went out and we're in, guys, and that's all there is to it. Speaking of Elliott, he said, "We never thought we were out of it. Our division's been struggling this year. We're right where we need to be with what's been going on with the division. We've got to build on this success, so we can't come out in a short week and take a step back against a division opponent. We've got to make sure we build on the success and keep getting better." And he could not have said that better, because they've got to continue this. If they take a step backwards tomorrow and lose that game, man, it's going to be tough to get out of that hole then. We're still in it.
Yeah.
Everything is right there. So what do you think about what Mr. Elliott had to say on that?
Well, I tell you what, he can make a difference. And, you know, there's a whole article about it, you know, and it's almost comical, but there's a whole article about it on how he can make a difference tomorrow. I believe it was CBS News that put that out there, Chuck Champion. And here's the headline. It says, "Here's how Ezekiel Elliott can make NFL history during the Cowboys Thanksgiving showdown with Washington." Okay, and they go on to talk about it, and they go on to say, you know, a lot of it is going to be mental, and it's going to be up to him. He's faced with a big challenge tomorrow, and we'll see if he can step up. You know, it says a performance of that magnitude will also put Elliott in a tie with Pro Football Hall of Famers Michael Irvin and Barry Sanders for the second most Thanksgiving games with at least 100 scrimmage yards in league history. So if he can, he's being challenged to go 100 yards tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's being called out on national media by his mentors and his predecessors. And will he answer the call? I definitely hope so. I think he's capable of it. And it's yet to be seen how he's going to perform tomorrow. But I feel real strong that we're going to come out with a win, and Ezekiel will have his play in it. My take here, Chuck.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and he needs to. He needs to have a powerful performance tomorrow against that powerful line. They've got a very strong defensive line. We talked about it last time before they played and got beat by the Washington football team. I mentioned that they had a really difficult offensive or defensive line, and sure enough, man, they did a great job. They were coming at our quarterback, whoever it was. I don't even remember who it was. But they were coming at him pretty hard, and they ended up winning the game. But tomorrow, Elliott has to play different. He has to take control of the situation. He has to go out there and demonstrate that he's capable of stepping up in these big moments, because it's a big moment. And in order to make the win from last week mean something on a short week, he's got to do it again, baby. He's got to do it again. Now, Dalton also has to do the same thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, Dalton, last week, you know, he threw for just 203 yards, and he had a pass intercepted for the fourth time, no less. But he was clutch. When he needed to be clutch, he was a clutch guy last week. I mean, if you can remember, we were trailing 28-24 with 4 minutes left to play, and here comes Dalton. He engineered an 11-play, 61-yard drive in which he completed 5 of 7 passes for 37 yards just right there. And then on a fourth and six, he hit Amari Cooper for 10 yards.
Yes. And, you know, what I saw there, Chuck Kempin, is I saw a calm, cool, and collective leader.
Right?
He maintained his composure.
Yes.
He didn't let the fact that he was behind worry him. He didn't even let a fourth down play with him mentally. He stepped up to the plate and he came through. He may not have had the numbers that he's had before. He may have not had the numbers that we like. But you know what he did have? He had the other players engaged in playing as a team. And the reason we won was because everybody did what they had to do and we played as a team.
Andy's a guy that's played a lot of ball, Ezekiel Elliott.
He has.
He's a vet. I think he's in year 10. He's been in that moment a bunch of times. We trust him. He was definitely clutch and kept big at the end, is what Ezekiel Elliott said of Dalton's play last week. And, yeah, man, he did. He was clutch at the end when it counted. And so, yeah, they need to put that together again this week. And I think if they can manage to, you know, to come up with that and do it together collectively as a team, you know, we still stand a chance. Why? Because our whole freaking division sucks right now. And it doesn't matter what, we're still going to have somebody represent our division in the playoffs, because that's just part of the rules. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter that the NFC West has the fucking Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Rams, and all them badass teams. It does not, none of that matters, because only one team can make it.
That's it.
You know?
That's it. And to add to that, I have to mention this other one, the Steelers, bro. Okay. It doesn't matter what the Pittsburgh Steelers say.
Right.
We're coming their way, baby. It doesn't matter what they say.
Indeed.
We're coming their way.
Indeed. And there were some remarkable plays in that game. In fact, that CD Lamb touchdown, man, was really kick-ass. I mean, that was just such a kick-ass catch. In fact, it was the number one play of the week for the, you know, from the entire NFL. And then, of course, the other guy, Jefferson, had the number two catch in the game. So we got blessed with a great game with some great plays. Your final thoughts on that?
I'm not real sure that play with CD Lamb is not going to be the play of the year, Chuck Champion. Because I personally, and everyone in the room that was watching with me, had already gone, oh, man. And then he comes up with this catch. Are you kidding me? You know,
yeah.
He proved us all wrong. It was an amazing catch. It should be in the books. It is in the books, and it very well should be there. And I'm not real sure it's not going to make Player of the Year, Chuck Chubb, or at least speed in the running. It has to be. Okay, so, but to have two of them in the same game, although, you know, the other was for the opposing team, but to have two of them in the same game, what a game.
Right. Yeah, and then that Adam Thielen had a killer game for the Vikings. 123 receiving yards that he had, and he took several hits, too, that you would expect to end up as fumbles. And amazingly, he held on to the ball. And then, of course, their running back, Dalvin Cook, put up 115 yards. We had a great game with, like, six lead changes. And the last one is the one that mattered most, and that's when we won, baby, right there at the end. And this is what it's about, is what McCarthy said at the end. He said, trust me, it's great to win because that's what this is all about. It's about winning, and our team earned it. Now they have to turn around and put it right back together again in a short week against a tough Washington defense. And we're going to talk about that coming up after these words. But we're going to take a break right now, Chale Pistola, so you can get a grip over there. Maybe you might have to go, relieve yourself. I don't know. And when we come back, we're going
to
pop.
The best of us.
Indeed it does. When we come back, we're going to pop a top on another cold one. And we're going to resume with the show, buddy. That's what we're going to do here. So we will be right back after these words on Little Pinche Cowboys Podcast.
All my exes live in Texas. And Texas is a place I dearly love to be. But
rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary? Something really scary?
You want to see something really scary?
Crashed Out, Albert Expected, coming soon. Only a World Generation Podcast Network.
Are you ready for some more wrestling talk? Join Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, headliner Joe Bates, and Rancho punk rocker Albert Salazar as they recap some of this week's shenanigans in the WWE. Fatal 4-Way Radio makes its triumphant return to the World Generation Podcast Network.
Hey, you silly kids, it's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast, the show to determine things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie!
That's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local listings.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. Chuck Champion here, along with Chale Pistolas, who Chale Pistolas, has, by the way, has been to Lukenbach, Texas, has drank a beer there. Several beers.
Absolutely.
There. Spent the night there, I think, maybe, possibly. Tell us about Lukenbach.
Oh, I highly recommend it. Lukenbach, the nicest people I've ever met. You've got a stage there. If you pick a guitar, you're welcome there. They have jam sessions, cold beer, and just friendly people. You walk around, it's an outside atmosphere, and just a wonderful place to go relax, have a beer, listen to good old country music, and I'm going to put a plug in here, but you never know when the red-headed stranger is going to drive up in his bus. Talking about Willie Nelson himself.
I'll be okay, darned.
So you can be sitting there enjoying a cold beer, hearing a good country song, and next thing you know, Willie is tapping on your shoulder, asking you to move over.
he might want to see if you got a dime bag or something that you could sell him. he may need a light to go smoke a joint outside or something. I don't know.
He might.
He might. Yeah. So Lukenbach, Texas.
I love
right
it.
On. Nobody feeling no pain.
Not feeling no pain.
Nobody's feeling no pain in Lukenbach, Texas, or here on the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast. Going forward, you know, we had even contemplated on no longer doing. I'm just stopping the show. That's how bad the season had gotten. We're like, hey, do we really want to do this? I mean, shit, we're supposed to win the freaking Super Bowl. And then, but you know what? We decided to continue doing it. Why? Because we care. We care about you, the listeners. Now, we have listeners all over the world. We have listeners. We picked up a new country for us. Believe it or not, we now have listeners in South Sudan. 1% of our listeners in the Sudan, baby. South Sudan in Africa. Africa. Yes.
Chuck, how about a big round of applause for our listeners in South Sudan and South Africa?
A big round of applause, yes. For the listeners in South Sudan and South Africa. So just for you guys. I said give them a big round of applause. Come on now. There you go. The cheers. Got some old Texans here.
The exact reason why we do this, Chuck Champion, is for our listeners.
Indeed. Indeed. And so we picked up South Sudan now. And so welcome to probably our one listener or our one household, whatever the case may be, our one village, whatever the case may be. You know, we also have listeners in the smallest country I've ever. I think it is. Let's see here. Well, wait, Bosnia might be the smallest. We got listeners in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Okay. But there's another one, Azerbaijan. small country. I believe it or not, okay, I had a video pop up on my YouTube. Yes, you were saying?
Is that right?
Yeah, I had a
champion,
video.
I must have slept through that geography lesson. Can you help me understand where that is?
Yeah, that would be in the Middle East, Azerbaijan, and it is, let's see here, west of India, north of Egypt. So Egypt, of course, is in Africa, and it's a little country over there in the Middle East, like where the where that body of water is, whatever it's called, the Strait of Hormuz or whatever. I don't know what it's called. But yeah. Over
awesome.
In the Middle
well,
East.
We welcome them as well. Yeah, gosh.
Indeed,
it's
we
unbelievable.
Do.
And
fans of course,
that,
we do have
the Cowboys
in South.
Have throughout this world.
Absolutely. We have listeners in South Korea as well. And now we're still waiting. We're still waiting on Kim Jong-un, you know, if he wants to come on board as well. I definitely welcome him. I definitely welcome Kim Jong-un. So, Kim, if you're, they decide to come on board with us, we would definitely welcome you. I know Rocket Man, if he wants to, you know, talk to us here, he's more than welcome to call in. Because I know
absolutely
that the Dallas Cowboys have got to be his favorite team. Moving on, though, guys, moving on. Enough with the chicanery, bunch of chicanery going on here. What about the listen, man, when it comes down to the Cowboys versus Washington, no longer the Washington Redskins, by the way, just Washington, the Washington football team. Nevertheless, whoever they are, it's the same people. It's the same organization. But when we're going against them, records just don't matter. They could be 12-3, and we could be, 3-12, last game of the year, and none of that matters because you know it's going to be a hard-hitting game regardless. Very rarely have I watched a game between these two that didn't come down to the last drive or the last series. For sure, the last quarter. Very rarely. So tomorrow, we're in for hopefully another thriller. I would suspect that it will be another thriller. But seriously, the records just don't matter when these two teams play. That's how great of a rivalry it is. What are your thoughts on this rivalry that we have tomorrow? Cowboys and Indians, no less.
Well, it's been going back, I'm not going to disclose my age, but when I was very young, I would love to watch Cowboys and Indians, and the rivalry goes back over 100 years, I would think. In the NFL, definitely since the beginning of the program. However, history shows that the Cowboys will prevail. Okay, so I'm with you. Regardless of the records, regardless of who's got what kind of hitters, what. Let's face it, Chuck Champion, the Cowboys are on a roll. Washington to work tomorrow. They've got to work the butts off every single play, and the Cowboys are coming in with a chip on their shoulder that I don't believe can be knocked off. we're gonna wait to see. I'm going high on this one, and I hope I'm not wrong. But hey, let me tell you, as history shows, I think we all know what's gonna happen tomorrow, Chuck Jackson. We're gonna be sitting here next week celebrating once again because there has been a turn in our performance, and I really believe that we're gonna be unstoppable tomorrow. It's gonna be a close game because it always is. Somehow, they always figure out a way to give us a darn good game. But at the end, the score is all that matters. The stats
indeed
help, but the score is all that matters.
Indeed. And, let's face it. We've already talked about it. The winner of Thursday's tomorrow's game is going to become the whole division's first four win team. and will be taking place, temporary hold of first place, that is. Now,
yes.
We're coming on the heels of a 31-28 road victory. A road victory, our first of the year, no less. And, of course,
yes.
We're looking to put up, consecutive wins for the first time in 13 months. You realize it's been that long since we've had consecutive wins? 13 months ago, buddy. 13 months ago.
Yes. Yes.
That was when we beat the Eagles.
It's going to happen tomorrow, and it's going to happen in our stadium and on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, if we could just, all we got to do is win one game at a time. One game at a time, and, who knows? We could finish out here pretty strong. That's all we need.
I definitely saw a stronger offense. And I really believe, unless I'm just trying to talk myself into it, but I really believe we saw a stronger defense last week. I think they'll step up tomorrow, okay? And if our defense steps up tomorrow, Chuck Champion, they can't stop our offense. There's just no way. Too many guns.
Yeah. And, of course, we are it was this last game against the Redskins, when Dalton took that hit that was deemed a dirty hit, and I remember saying that it wasn't a dirty hit on the show, thinking, calling them a bunch of pansies, everybody saying it was a dirty hit. However, the next day I saw further footage that was not shown on TV. Man, it really was a dirty hit. It really was a dirty hit. So he's going up against that guy, John Bostic, who knocked Andy Dalton from the game in the previous meeting back on the 25th. So that's going to be there tomorrow. A little bit of revenge there going into that. And I'm looking forward to a good game.
And so am I. I'll be, we'll all be with our tummies full and we'll be happy. And the Cowboys, I believe, tomorrow will just make us happier at the end of the game. And we'll go back for seconds immediately following the game.
Yeah, and, something going on here, we have the injury report in. Now, apparently, Anthony Brown and Greg Zuerlein are questionable. So let's see here. I don't know what's going on with Zuerlein. Of course, that's our kicker. Limited has a back injury. Oh, shit. A back injury that limited him in practice all week. I think
he'll be good to go. Do you know?
Now, that I do not know, but I would think that Zuerlein would be ready to go.
Yeah, I would hope so. And if not, there is another option. We just don't kick.
Yeah. let's just get
ourselves in a position where we don't have to kick.
Where we don't have that's a good out down. That's it. That's it. So here we are, week 12. We have a few games left. And I expect a Cowboys win tomorrow. I feel like they're going to win. I feel like it's going to be a close game. I feel like the Cowboys win tomorrow 27-23 on a last drive that ends in a touchdown. 27-23 is what I'm calling.
Wow. I'm going to call the Cowboys win 31-17.
Ooh.
A little wider spread.
Yeah.
I got
a
feeling we're just going to take it home on the fourth quarter. We're going to be unstoppable. We're going to shut them down completely on the fourth quarter. We'll be able to score two scores up on the fourth quarter and go on up ahead 31-17.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Zeke, him having a great day tomorrow. I would love to see that, where he gets to just run the ball the whole fourth to kill the clock. Where we're far ahead, where all he has to do is kill the clock. defense,
right,
just breaking through the defense. Let's go to RP. What are you calling for tomorrow, sir?
I'll call it Cowboys winning by 14 points.
14 points. You know, they still haven't beat the spread all year.
It's going to be 14-0.
14-0. Ooh. I would like to see a shutout.
Yeah.
Even if it is
the last time the Redskins were shut out there, Jack Tippy.
Now, that I don't know, but any time was a good time.
Any time is a good time, yes.
Yeah, indeed. Any time the Redskins are shut out, it's a good time for me. Guys, we had some great stuff coming out of Dallas this week. CD Lamb surprises a family with $50,000 in home repairs. Now,
did he buy a new home or what?
No. Here's the scoop, and this is by Bree Amaranthus. This is by Bree Amaranthus for Sports Illustrated. A local family did not have an inkling. They didn't have no clue that Dallas Cowboys wide receiver C.D. Lamb would change their life. The DeWitt family live in a Dallas home with unstable floors, holes in their windows, and broken bathrooms. It is the family's first home in America. DeWitt is spelled D-A-W-I-T, so I'm assuming they're African. It is the family's first home in America, but the home needed repairs made to it. The home was hardly habitable. Daughter Teslat DeWitt, 15 years old, submitted their house to her local Boys and Girls Club for consideration for renovation. "I've been in your shoes before," C.D. Lamb told the DeWitts on the phone call. "My home has been damaged before. I am happy for you guys, and it is the least I can do." So, apparently, he's been a member of the Boys and Girls Club since he was growing up, and he's giving back to the organization that gave him a lot as a kid. So he teamed up with Lowe's Home Improvement to surprise the DeWitt family with some critical home repair renovations that were much needed to their home. And they're huge Cowboys fans and were completely unaware about Lamb's involvement with this until he surprised them with a virtual call. And he also sent a framed note and an autographed jersey to hang in their home. $50,000 worth of critical repairs to their home. And so the Lamb family then invited C.D. Lamb then invited the family to come out to AT&T Stadium for a Cowboys home game. And the whole thing is just a feel-good moment. He's making his big presence felt on the field and in the Dallas community. And, of course, he's fresh off of that incredibly acrobatic touchdown catch and the Dallas win over the Minnesota Vikings. So, yeah, C.D. Lamb is doing good. He's doing good for the people in Dallas as well. Your thoughts on C.D. Lamb?
A big hurrah for C.D. Lamb.
Right?
You know, that's very noble, very outstanding. Brought it back home, was able to do something for a special cause. Kudos to him. My hat off to him there, Chuck Champion, and I wish him the best. I really believe that it was a noble act on his part. I don't believe it's any for any recognition or anything other than just unselfishness and sharing of his wealth and caring for his community and wanting to give back. So a special thank you to him for reaching out to a family that's in need and helping him out and sharing the abundance of his wealth good things will come to him because of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can share this feel-good story with the peeps that gather around with you tomorrow as you gather around and watch the game tomorrow at 3 o'clock or 3:30, whatever time it may be. It's a real good feel-good story for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's a good Thanksgiving story that you can share tomorrow with people that are gathered around you as we root for the Dallas Cowboys, baby.
Indeed.
I think that about does it for this show. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, my closing thoughts are just that, as always, go Cowboys. But you know, we've got a challenge ahead of us the remainder of the year, and we just need to hold our head up, do what we need to do. Our defense needs to stand up as they did this last game, and our offense needs to perform at its best. And our quarterback needs to remain focused. It's obvious that he can. And if all of those three things can be accomplished, we'll be celebrating another victory next year. Next week. But in the meanwhile, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, all our listeners. And we wish everybody the best with their families. And stay safe. And go Cowboys there, Chuck Champion.
Absolutely. Go Cowboys. So, yes, indeed. Thank you very much for listening to this week's edition of Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast. I am Chuck Champion for Charlie Pistolas. We'd like to wish you the greatest Thanksgiving of all. And, again, we'll see you again next week, same time, same station, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Peace.
A presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.